Good morning.
I want to talk this morning about Jesus feeding the multitude with five loaves of bread and two fish. And I've entitled this, "With Jesus, It's Always Enough." The text is out of John chapter 6. There's 13 verses. But I was telling Dot yesterday when we were putting this on PowerPoint, sometimes it's hard to find a breaking off point. And they're all pertinent to what we're going to talk about today. So John writes, "After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they for so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten." Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you meet our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that you will take this text to our hearts, encourage us, strengthen our faith, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. According to the three gospel accounts, this incident, Jesus decided they needed to go to a desert place or a desolate place. Matthew records that Jesus had been told by the disciples of John the Baptist that Herod had executed him. Mark tells that after Jesus was rejected at Nazareth, he empowered the 12 to heal the sick and cast out demons, and he sent them out to preach. And it said when they returned, they told the Lord about what they had done. And they were all excited, you know, about the things they had done. And it said Jesus said to them, "Come with me to a quiet place by yourselves." Mark said, because so many people were coming to them, they couldn't even eat. John records that Jesus had healed a paralytic in the temple, and it was the Sabbath. And he told the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." And the Pharisees jumped him for walking on the Sabbath, carrying his bed. And he said, "Well, the guy that healed me told me to carry the bed." And they said, "Well, who is he?" He said, "I don't know." They said later, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "Look, you've been healed. Stop sinning or something else worse is going to happen to you." So then he went to the Pharisees and said, "That's the guy." So it said they persecuted Jesus. They came up and said, "You're not supposed to do this on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath because that's considered work." And Jesus said something that made him more angry. He said, "My Father works till now, and so do I." And John said, then they wanted to kill him because he dared to call God his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, I said all that to say this. Jesus decided that they needed a break. And there's nothing wrong with taking a break. Sometimes I have sensed the Spirit of God in me personally saying, "Come off with me by yourself." Sometimes we got to have that, people. We need to spend that quiet time with the Lord. And the Lord decided they needed this. We need a break. We need to get away for a little while. When they left, John said they got into a boat and crossed the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, but the people saw them leave and they walked around the shore of the lake. And Jesus and his disciples had got where they were going, and Jesus was sitting on a mountain talking to them, teaching them, and he looked up and saw these crowds. Now, to me, it had been understandable if Jesus would have said, "Hey, we have been ministering to you. We're wore out. We're tired. We need a break. Come back tomorrow. Or I'll be in your town in the next couple days and I'll preach and teach. Come and listen to me then." But Jesus didn't think that way. Mark records that when he looked up and saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion, for they were like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. When I was in Bible college, one of my professors, we were in a class called Life Work of the Minister. And he said something you men have to remember: people are more important than projects. And he said, sometimes you're studying, you're researching for a message, you're trying to get things done, you're going here and you're going there, and somebody will show up and say, "I need to talk to you." And he said, on the inside, you don't mean to, but sometimes you think, "I'm busy." You know, and he said, you want to say, "Well, can you talk to me later?" But he said, don't do that, guys. He said, people are a lot more important than projects. And you'll think I'm sidetracked here, but I'm not. Jesus said, come with me to by yourselves to a quiet place. He also told us, the people in the church that do without the pastor the most is his family. He said, guys, you can get so busy, and many pastors do, they neglect their family because everybody else needs them. They need to talk to them. And he said, you need to set one day a week aside for your family. And if you have to, he said, you tell the church, you tell the board, you tell whoever, this is my day off. If it's not an emergency, do not contact me. And I found that pretty sound advice. Now, I'm not saying that if you call me and it's my day off, that I won't come. But what he said really spoke to me. The people in the church that do the most without a pastor is the family. You're so busy being a pastor for everybody else, you forget to minister to your own family. Now, as I said, Jesus looked up and saw this crowd coming. And Mark said he was moved with compassion. Dr. James Strong describes that phrase in the Greek as his heart yearned for them. He felt a pity deep within his heart, and he wanted to do something for them. God cares about people. Now, I'm making that point because I hear so many today accuse God of not caring. And to me, we kind of have that spoiled brat attitude. If I don't get my way, God just doesn't care. Or if God really cared, why'd that happen to me? Why'd he let that happen to me? You need to be careful what you charge God with. Okay? He does care. As I said, Jesus looked up and he saw this crowd. And he looked over at Philip, one of his church members. And he said, where are we going to get food to feed all these people? And it said he already knew what he was going to do. Well, why did he ask Philip then? It said he asked him to test him. Now, that word test doesn't mean to tempt, but it means, in essence, he wanted to draw Philip in. He wanted Philip to see where Philip's head was. And if you've read the Gospels, you find out that his men didn't have a clue most of the time who he really was. They had a lot of unbelief, even though they'd seen his miracles. They still had trouble believing in what he could do. And Philip said, Lord, 200 days' wages would not buy enough food for each of them to have a little. That's how big the crowd was. The scriptures say there were 5,000 men. Back then, they just counted the men. Nothing against the ladies, but that's what they counted. And many scholars today say there could have been as many as 7,500 to 15,000 people there, counting women and children. So this was a big crowd. And it's evidenced by Philip's response, 200 days' wages A denaro is a day's wage, would not be enough for each of them to get a little bit. And then Andrew comes and says, well, I found a boy here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what's that among so many? And the way I read that, in essence, they said, Lord, we appreciate your intentions, but we can't do it. You need to give up on that idea. We do not have enough here. We don't have the resources to feed this crowd. We appreciate that you want to do it, and I'm sure they would appreciate it, but we can't. And Jesus taught them a lesson on faith. He said, have the people sit down. I can imagine the disciples walking up and maybe tentatively and sheepishly saying, he said he wants you to sit down. And they might be thinking, oh Lord, this is going to be embarrassing. What are we going to do? How can he feed this people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Don't be hard on them, because a lot of the church is that way today. And the one who fed Israel with manna for 40 years, it said he took the bread and he gave thanks and he blessed it. And he broke it. And he included his church in what he did, because he gave it to the disciples and they gave it to the people. You see, Jesus provided what was needed, but he had his church give it out. They distributed what Jesus provided. And it said he did the same with the fish. Everybody ate until they were full. And Jesus said, gather up the fragments that nothing will be lost. They gathered up 12 baskets. I've heard the significance of that is there's 12 tribes of Israel. They gathered 12 baskets of bread. The scriptures don't tell us what they did with it. I guess God figures it's none of our business, or it's just not important. When I read this text and when I think about it and meditate about it, I compare it to the church today. And this isn't to be critical. Sometimes, and I've had people say this, and I've even thought it, how could these guys see Jesus do all these miracles and stumble? And I go, we can't do that. But we do it all the time, don't we? I believe we do. I have. You know, my wife and I were talking one day, and we were talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And I said, 3 days into the journey, they started complaining. Did God bring us out here to die? We're hungry. Where's the water? And she said, how could they watch God do all those miracles and forget so quick? I said, because they're people. Because we're self-centered. Hey, God, I'm getting hungry. Whoa, God, I'm getting thirsty. You're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to feed me. You're supposed to give me something to drink. Where are you at? Jesus saw a need. And he had every intention of meeting that need. But he used his church. He included them in that. I think that's great. Yeah. He said, where are we going to get the food to feed these people? He knew where it was coming from. He wanted to see if they knew. And they didn't. They didn't have a clue. Well, we got some here, but it's not enough. Well, we don't even have enough money to buy food for these people. And I can see the Lord smile and say, tell the guys to sit down. They were getting ready to eat. Have them sit down. And I think very often today, a lot of the church, and I'm including this church, I'm not running other churches down, but a lot of people in the church are like Philip and Andrew. They'll say, well, it's a nice thought, but we just can't do it. Have you seen our checking account balance? We just don't have the money to minister. Well, where's our faith? The Bible says that God has planned works for his people in advance. It's in Ephesians. He's pre-planned what he wants us to do. We know from Scripture that Jesus said, make disciples for me. We know that he promised, I will never leave you. I'll stay with you till the end. But we have trouble believing that he has called us to minister to the lost and that he's going to meet our needs if we do that. We get like Philip and Andrew. We look at what we have or what we think we have and say, that's not enough. It's a nice thought, God, but we just can't afford to do that. But with Jesus, it's always enough. Is our faith in the dollar? Or is it in the Lord? Is it in numbers? Or is it in the Lord? What kind of God would tell his church, I want you to minister. I want you to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, minister to the poor, visit those who are sick and in prison. He's talking about ministries and wouldn't provide for that. And what we do is we sit back on our blessed assurance and say, well, God, you bring the money in and then we'll do it. And God's going, no, get out and do it. I'll bring the money in. Boy, I can tell the way you guys are looking at me, you think, oh boy, Rick fell off his rocker. I'm not a name it and claim it person, but I know who I believe in. And I know that when he gives us a task, I've learned this in 27 years of ministry, he provides the means. He will provide the way if we will step out in faith. These men didn't have faith, and I'm not putting them down. It was evident by their response. But what saddens me is I have responded the same way to God at times in 27 years of ministry, but I've been in most churches I've been in, that's how they respond. Well, we would reach out, but we don't have the money. We just don't have the resources. Lord God, we got to keep some money here to pay bills. God knows that. Whose money is it in that checking account? Huh? It's okay to say it. God's. You know, I tithe. I'm not bragging, but I tithe. And when I drop that money in that box, it's not mine anymore. It's the Lord's. Now, I understand in the church, we have commitments. We have bills to meet. We have insurance payments. We have electric bills. We have heating bills. We have all these other things to meet. But we are a not-for-profit organization, and that God does not give us seed to set on. He gives us seed to sow. With Jesus, it's always enough. There's an unsung hero to me in this text. It's a boy. He had five barley loaves. Barley was the bread of the poor. The richer people ate wheat bread. The poor people ate barley bread. And he had two small fish. I read a thing on this. In this area, they caught these little fish in nets like our sardines, and they dried them on rocks in the sun. I saw Jesus of Nazareth, and my gosh, they were handing out largemouth bass. You know, when they said they gave him fish. That's not what it was. And they weren't great big loaves. They were five small barley loaves. This boy gave his sack lunch to Jesus. He didn't give him part of it. He didn't say, well, look, Jesus, I need at least two loaves and one fish, and you can have the rest. What did he do? He gave it all. Jesus didn't walk up and take that lunch away from him. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe the Lord looked at him and said, can I have your lunch? And that kid said, here, Lord, take it all. Is it any wonder in the scriptures it says, Jesus told us if we do not become like little children, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven? Yeah. How much is a soul worth? Are we willing to give sacrificially to reach out to the lost? Paul said, having food and clothes, we should be content. That was Paul. Don't look at me like that. But I agree with him. Jesus has the same compassion now that he had then. My Bible says God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of repentance. Should come to him through faith in Jesus Christ and be reconciled to him. And God's appointed the church to spread that message. What are we waiting for? These are questions I'm asking myself. But consider, what are we waiting for? I've been in ministry 27 years, and I've been in different churches in ministry, and without exception, in every church I've been in, finances are the main deal. We got to watch our spending. Whose money is that? Well, it's God's, but we've been put in charge of it. Oh, well, what's God expect you to do with God's money, minister? I remember a minister told me in one church, yeah, but Brother Rick, when we draw the poor in, and he actually said this to me, they don't tithe. So he said, they just suck the resources out of the church. And we don't get to replenish that. Then I said, who are you counting on replenishing it? Men or God? Well, now I know God can meet our needs, but you didn't believe he would. That's how I felt. You just don't believe he will. And why are you worried about getting people in the church that you can get something from? That is unscriptural. That is unholy. That is devilish. It's like these yahoos on TV that's preaching, come to Jesus and this is what you're going to get. All these material blessings. That's devilish, church. God never promised to bless us materially with wealth that we can't contain. He promised to meet our needs. He promised to watch out for us. He promised to be with us through all the troubles we go through. He didn't promise us an easy life. And I have to remind myself of that sometimes. I complain. God, come on. Can't you ease up a little bit? The Lord shared something with me several years back. I want to share with you in closing. I was sitting thinking one day, boy, if I was rich. Man, if I was rich, I'd do this and I'd do that. One thing I said I'd like to do, I'd like to have a big house and for unwed mothers. My wife and I took in two girls, teenage girls, several years ago that were pregnant. They got kicked out of their house. Dad kicked them out. They didn't have anywhere to go. I'm not boasting. But we said, yeah, come stay with us. Both them girls ended up marrying the guys that got them pregnant, and they're still married to this day. Was it hard to have somebody come into my house? Yeah. Because I'm pretty set in my ways. And my kids knew they had to obey me, but these girls weren't so sure of that fact. But I remember I was talking to the Lord one day, and I said, God, if I was only rich, I'd build a big house where unwedded mothers could come, or where troubled teens could come. I would do this and I would do that. And the Lord broke in on my thoughts and he said, Rick, I don't care how much money you have. All I care about is what do you do with what I give you? You remember the widow? Jesus was sitting at the treasure box in the temple, said the rich were coming in and dumping a bunch of money in, and this poor widow come in and put in two pennies. Jesus called his apostles over there and said, she gave more than all the rest of them. See, by the law, she couldn't give one. She had to give both. And Jesus said that's all she had to live on. But because of her desire to give to God, she gave everything she had. Now, am I saying that we need to sell everything we have and live in tents? No. That's not what I'm saying. But church, we need to get our priorities straight. Yeah. Do I need internet worse than I need to see somebody saved? Do I need to build up a large retirement plan? I've never seen a hearse pull a U-Haul. I never have. But I've met a lot of people in my lifetime that I'm convinced if they could, they'd have their assets put into traveler's checks and have them buried with them. They just think, oh, this is my money. Who gave it to you? Well, the Lord, and I really appreciate that. I put a little in the box once in a while. Once in a while. What's more important to us? Do you know there's people in this town that are lost and are going to hell? There's people in this town that are screwed up on drugs. They're looking for light in the dark, and we have the light, But the problem is the world's asleep in the dark and the church sleeps in the light. Yeah. Well, if the Lord wants him here, he'll bring him in. Really? We're waiting on God and God's waiting on us. That's the way I look at it. Well, God, we're waiting for you to move. I've already moved. I'm waiting for you to move. Are we going to be like the Pharisees and ask God for a sign? That's dangerous, church. That is dangerous. Jesus said that one day you and I will stand before him and give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. And, I'm probably going to have a lot to account for. But I also believe we're going to give an account with what we did with what God gave us. I was at a meeting once and this evangelist was preaching and he said something I never forgot. He said, if you gave me your checkbook, let me look at your check register. I can tell you exactly where your heart is. Ouch. God's not concerned with how much we have. He's concerned with how much we'll make available to him. And with Jesus, a little bit's always enough. Do you believe that? Yeah. This means yes, this means no. Now, this isn't, I'm not thumping on you. This message spoke to me. It made me do an evaluation. What do I spend my money on? Do I give sacrificially? Now, I tithe, but I've known people that give 20, 30% of their income. Whoa. How much is a soul worth, church? Would you stand with me this morning? Do you believe that God will meet our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Amen. Do you really believe it? Amen. Yeah, I do too. Do we get tested on that? Yes. Amen. So what if we have to eat beans and taters 3 times a week? It's time for the church to get busy. It's time for the church to quit waiting on God to move and start moving. In prayer, in love, seeking his counsel and his guidance. But we need to understand that he's not going to call us to do something he will not equip us to do. I'm talking financially, spiritually. God has plans for the church. It's up to us to step out of faith and do what he's called us to do. And with Jesus, a little bit is plenty.